This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org.
HD DVD is dead.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. The format war is no more. Today in Japan, Toshiba raised the white flag and said it would stop making and selling HD DVD players. That makes Sony's Blu-ray the winner. Made me think about my dad. Back in the day, he insisted on buying Beta instead of VHS, and our family suffered for it. I think we watched the same five movies over and over. So what about all those HD DVD people? Here's Jill Barchet.
More than a million customers shelled out $300 to buy HD DVD players or $100 to get their video game consoles to play the high-def format. Richard Daugherty is research director for Envisioneering Group, which studies the market for new technologies. He says to add insult to injury, many players were purchased in the past couple months because Toshiba had slashed prices.
Retailers may have to deal with some returns. Some consumers may say, hey, I bought this player in early February, and now I understand there's no more movies. I want my money back.
Daugherty says for their part, retailers and wholesale distributors will likely dump their inventories of HD DVD players on home shopping channels and on online discounters. One silver lining for those already saddled with the players. Daugherty predicts consumers will be able to snap up remaining HD DVD discs for as little as $10 a pop. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
This morning, Walmart said profits were up 4% last quarter. That's what Wall Street expected, so investors are relieved. The Dow is up 122 points already, about a percent. The Nasdaq has gained 22 to 2344. The S&P 500 is basically flat so far. In Asia today, 1 to 2% gains. European shares are up about a percent so far. Another spike in oil prices. Oil is trading above $98 a barrel this morning. If you flew over the weekend, I hope you got where you were going in a timely fashion. But flight delays are getting to be the norm rather than the exception. There are a lot more planes, and radar just can't pinpoint their locations enough to ease the congestion. The FAA wants to switch to satellites, a GPS system for the skies, if you will. But the problem is how to pay for it. Nancy Marshall Genza reports.
One bill floating around Capitol Hill would charge every plane in the sky $25. Airline analyst Andrew Watterson says under this plan, airlines and private jets would pay for the new satellite system.
Kind of a toll road in the sky is what's being proposed, where big planes, little planes would all pay their toll to use the airways.
But the toll road concept doesn't fly with some passenger groups. They're afraid they'll get stuck with the toll bill. Richard Crum heads up the Association of Corporate Travel Executives. He says the federal government should pay because the new system will benefit everyone, not just passengers.
Think of all of the cargo and small packages and movement of goods that happen across through the air traffic management system.
Whoever pays, we need the new system soon. The FAA says if we do nothing, air traffic delays will increase 62% by 2014. You'll have enough time to read War and Peace and write a sequel. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Lots of news reports this morning suggest Delta is close to buying Northwest. Apparently, leaders of the two pilots' unions have reached an agreement. The boards of both airlines have scheduled emergency meetings for today to work on the deal. This is the Morning Report for Tuesday, February 19th on Marketplace.org. It's Wisconsin and Hawaii's turn today, a presidential primary in Wisconsin and a Democratic caucus in Hawaii. The candidates are still working hard to set themselves apart, but most of them do agree on one thing, and it's a biggie. Sarah Gardner reports from our sustainability desk.
For years now, environmentalists have proclaimed greenhouse gas regulation in this country inevitable. It now appears they're right. All the leading presidential candidates endorse a limit on CO2 emissions. Clinton, Obama, McCain, even Huckabee supports so-called cap and trade. Steve Cochran is with Environmental Defense.
We have absolutely crossed an historic threshold.
McCain, in fact, co-sponsored the first climate change bill in the Senate. A McCain spokeswoman, however, indicated McCain will only back a bill that specifically cites support for nuclear power as well. Yale environmental law expert Dan Esty is skeptical Congress will pass CO2 legislation before the election. Liberals, he figures, are worried it'll be too weak. Conservatives are worried about the economics.
And they fear that pushing any legislation at this point that might be seen as burdening the economy could be used against them.
Esty, an Obama supporter, says Congress will ultimately pass something. Polls show a majority of Americans want it. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
We all know China's economy is growing fast, a scorching 11.5% last year. But the question is, what's the speed limit? Today, China said inflation is higher than 7%. Scott Tong reports from Shanghai.
When the speeding car that is China runs too hot and inflation tops 7%, a yellow warning light flashes on the economic dashboard. So says Jing Ma of Deutsche Bank in Hong Kong. In the past, he says, that's when consumers have started to expect inflation.
We actually found quite a few cases of panic buying or stockpiling by consumers for things that they don't want, and that itself will drive further inflation.
For weeks now, the government has deployed price controls to try to calm things down. That's good for buyers of food and energy, but not for sellers.
A lot of companies' margins will be squeezed, leading to a lower incentive for further investments, fairly damaging to the economy.
An economy whose exports are not growing the way they used to, thanks to a weaker United States. The hopeful scenario is Chinese inflation is temporary and only cooking up the food sector. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Nutrition bars are a $2 billion business. But if you look at what's in some of them, you might wonder where the nutrition is. From our entrepreneurship desk, Lisa Napoli tells us what happened when one guy in California read the label.
Anthony Flynn is very particular about the food he eats. And so when he looked at those nutrition bars you can buy in the stores, he realized most of them weren't all that nutritious.
You know, low-quality ingredients or high-fructose corn syrup or preservatives.
So he started making his own. Now he finds himself customizing them for total strangers from around the world. Different protein powders, fruits, granola, nuts. People order from his website, ubars.com.
And it's soy nut butter, honey, whey protein. That's it.
That's Ava Bice's idea of the perfect nutrition bar. She happens to be Anthony's mother and his business partner. In their small shop in the center of Los Angeles, they're showing me their order form on the web.
So you can choose any type of base, or you can choose a couple bases. If you like a certain type of butter, peanut butter is always good.
Anthony's helping me design a nutrition bar for my editor, who has a thing for sweets.
I would say if she likes chocolate also, pure cocoa. That is an amazing addition.
Natural cocoa powder.
Anthony Flynn's finding out a healthy bar means different things to different people.
You know, we've gotten some combinations of people who don't want any carbs in their bar, you know, and they just want, you know, a soy nut butter and Splenda. You know, they just say, put as much Splenda in there and soy nut butter as you can possibly fit into a bar. It's not necessarily my favorite bar, but they love it.
One of the U-Bar employees gets to work mixing up ingredients, and in under 15 minutes, a baker's dozen of customized bars is done, sealed in packages and ready to ship. At a little over $3.30 a piece, custom isn't that much more expensive than off the shelf. Anthony Flynn says he's getting orders from around the world.
Last night at about 11 p.m. our time, we got listed in a Switzerland newsletter, and all of a sudden we just blew up with orders from Switzerland, you know?
Spreading the gospel of good nutrition, one nutrition bar at a time. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
Germany, the tax man is banging on people's doors. Well, maybe knocking them down. Today, there were more raids on the homes and offices of wealthy Germans. As many as 900 people are suspected of tax evasion. They were apparently using dubious foundations set up by a bank in Liechtenstein. We're joined by reporter Brett Neely in Berlin. Brett, how did all of this come to light?
Well, it seems like someone who was possibly an employee at this bank in Liechtenstein, the LGT Bank, stole a DVD full of sensitive customer information and sold it to Germany's intelligence services for what's reportedly about 5 million euros.
Why would the intelligence service pay for this information?
There's been a big problem with tax evasion in Germany. It's kind of a sport in some ways. And Liechtenstein is one of the favorite places for wealthy Germans to stick their money. The German government's been trying to find ways to collect on these taxes for years, but they can't get through Liechtenstein's bank secrecy laws. So when this data was put up on the market, it was irresistible.
How is Liechtenstein responding to this?
They're pretty upset. They are already trying to figure out who stole the information and, you know, are also potentially even threatening sanctions against any of the, prosecutors who use this information if they ever were to visit Liechtenstein.
And what about people in Germany? How do they feel about these people being exposed?
You know, the mood here is really vengeful, I think is probably the best way to say it. You read all the papers and it's really, you know, who are these guys? What do they think they're trying to do? You know, these are, you know, fat cats who have been laying off people in factories and now they're just cutting and running and sticking their money in a bank in Liechtenstein. The funny thing is, too, is that, like I said, tax evasion's kind of a sport in Germany. Everyone hires a tax advisor. Everyone finds their ways to cut their taxes down close to the bone. Just, you know, most people don't load their car full of cash and drive to Liechtenstein.
All right, Brett Neely in Germany, thank you.
No problem.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.